Side 7, Champions of the Force, the Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 3, by Kevin J. Anderson. Continuing on page 317. "I wonder why he appears to be so miserable," Akbar said.
"Perhaps he is not a music lover," Winter suggested,
then settled into an awkward silence. Finally, she spoke again.
"I am glad you decided to return to the service of the New Republic, Akbar. You have much to give to the future of our government."
Akbar nodded solemnly, looking at the human woman who had served so many years as Leia's close personal aide. "I am pleased that you yourself have been freed from exile on Anat," he said. "I was concerned for you. Your personal talents and perceptiveness are greatly needed, and I have always valued your input." Akbar could see that Winter masked her expression carefully, allowing just a glimmer of a smile to show that she was holding back as much as he was.
"Good then," Winter said. "We shall be seeing a great deal more of each other in times to come."
Akbar nodded to her. "I would enjoy that." Kryzooks listened longingly to the music of the winds. The notes rose higher, dipped lower, wove around themselves to form a complex, never-to-be-repeated melody, since the Vors forbade any recording of their storm concerts, and no two were ever alike. The flying creatures flitted up and down the shafts of crystal, opening hatchways, covering small holes with their hands or bodies, as they shaped the symphony, building it as the storm grew closer. The music seemed to tell Kwai's own life story. It struck her emotional chords, blowing through the hollows and crevices of her heart so that she heard the feelings she had experienced through her life. Her childhood loss, her agonized training, her brainwashed imprisonment for years in Maw installation, and her sudden thrill of freedom as she met members of the New Republic who helped her escape. Then Wedge Antilles, who had opened up more new worlds for her, bright dawns she had never before imagined. Now, after her time of healing, she had returned to Maw installation and walked along the old corridors, set foot in her former laboratory. Kwai no longer chose to mourn those lost memories. When the misguided Kip Duron had erased her thoughts, it had been a violent act, but in hindsight, she thought he might have inadvertently done her a great favor. She did not wish to remember her devastating weapons work. She felt as if she had been reborn, given a new chance to start a life with Wedge, unencumbered by dark thoughts of the deadly inventions she had helped to create. The music continued, hollow and mournful, then joyous and uplifting, in an eerie counterpoint like nothing she had ever experienced before.
"Would you like to go back to Ithor with me?" Wedge bent close and whispered in her ear. "We can do our vacation right this time."
Kwai smiled back at him. The idea of returning to the lush jungle world sounded wonderful to her. The self-contained cities drifting over the treetops and the peaceful alien people. The experience would do much to ease the pain from the memories she had lost there.
"You mean we'd no longer have to hide from Imperial spies? From Admiral Dalla?"
"We wouldn't have to worry about any of that," Wedge said. "We could concentrate entirely on enjoying ourselves." The Vors opened up all the hatchways and windows in the Cathedral of Winds. As the storm center hurled its greatest gales at the structure, the music built to a spiraling crescendo, a triumphant finale that seemed to echo throughout the galaxy. 44. Sunrise on the fourth moon of Yavin. R2-D2 trundled ahead up the flagstoned ramp, chittering and bleeping as the new Jedi Knights followed him. In silence, they gathered atop the great temple to look across the mist-covered treetops. The orange gas giant glowed from behind as the system's sun came closer to the limb, suffusing the upper atmosphere with light. As the jungle moon continued in its headlong orbit, Luke Skywalker took his position in front of the procession to greet the coming dawn. Beside him walked young Kip Duron, still limping slightly from his newly healed injuries, but moving with an enormous inner strength. His entire attitude had changed in such a short time. But while Kip had been through the greatest ordeal of the new Jedi, Luke's other students had also proved themselves to be greater than he had foreseen, greater than he had hoped. Together, they had overthrown Exar Kun, the Dark Lord of the Sith. Kilgal had saved Mon Mothma's life with new techniques in Jedi healing. Streen had recovered his confidence
and had shown remarkable adeptness at feeling and touching the weather. Tion continued her quest to resurrect Jedi history, a job made more difficult now that the Jedi holocron had been destroyed, but Luke knew there were other holocrons to be found, though they might have been lost over the millennia. Many of the ancient Jedi masters had recorded their lives and their wisdom in such devices. Others, such as Dorsk 81, Cam Solusar, and Karana Tai, had not exhibited their particular aptitudes yet, though their powers were broad and strong. Some of the new Jedi would stay on Yavin 4 and continue to train and grow. Others would take their skills out to the galaxy as knights to defend the New Republic. R2 warbled an announcement, his prediction of when the first sunlight would strike the apex of the temple. The little droid seemed immensely pleased to be at Luke's side. Luke gathered his Jedi knights around him, sensed their growing power intertwined. They were a team, not just wild cards with powers and abilities they did not understand. The others stood on the chipped flagstones of the observation platform, looking out toward the hidden sun. Luke tried to find words to express his glowing pride and his high expectations. "You are the first of the new Jedi Knights," he said, raising his hands as if in benediction. "You are the core of what will become a great order to protect the New Republic. You are champions of the Force." Though his students did not speak or respond, he felt the upsurge of their emotions, their swelling pride. There would be other students, new trainees who would come to his Jedi Academy. Luke had to face the fact that he might lose a few to the dark side, but the more defenders of the Force he could train, the stronger would be the legions of the light side. With a collective gasp, the gathered Jedi on the rooftop watched as the sun burst from the fringe of Yavin. Brilliant white rays, gleaming like fire facet gems, sprayed across the jungle moon, reflecting and refracting from the swirling atmosphere. R2 whistled. Luke and the other Jedi simply watched in awed silence. The rainbow storm cast its glow over all of them as the dawn continued to brighten. End of Champions of the Force, the Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 3, by Kevin J. Anderson. Read by Chuck Benson in the studios of Talking Book Publishers, Incorporated, for the Library of Congress, September 1995. For special distribution as authorized by Act of Congress under Public Law 89-522, with the permission of the copyright holder and the publisher, Bantam Books, a division of Bantam Doubleday Dell Publishing Group, Incorporated. 1540 Broadway, New York, New York, 10036. If you found any cassette in this book to be defective, please place a rubber band or piece of string around that cassette for identification. Place it in the container on top of the front stack of cassettes.